Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of 1 John 3. We're doing a little sidebar here. Chasing a few cross-references that I think are really, really important. Let me just sort of give a little recap of the context here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 says this, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Now, this is Dale speaking now. John says this all the time in his gospel and his writings, a major emphasis that the Lord placed on his heart, that we are to love one another. And he's reminding them that Jesus said that in John 13:35. John said, I wrote about this in my gospel, that Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another." But now he's picking up in his letter in 1 John 3:12. Listen to what he says, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. And so we looked a little bit yesterday in Genesis 4 about this account. We saw where both Cain and Abel came before the Lord to worship. The Lord received Abel's worship, but did not receive Cain's. Cain's was furious over this. He went and the Lord warned him. He says, "Hey, why is your countenance fallen? Don't you know that if you'll do what's right, that I'll lift up your countenance? But if you don't, you know, sin is at the door and its desires for you, and you must master it." Well, Cain goes and tells his brother. The next line said, Cain told Abel, his brother. That's Genesis 4:8. The idea being that he told him what the Lord said. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And that's where we left off yesterday. We need to finish the rest of the account out of Genesis 4. So this is verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother?" Now, did the Lord not know where he was? Well, sure he knew where he was. He knew exactly what happened. Okay, the Lord knows everything about such things. Okay, then why is the Lord asking Cain, "Hey, where is Abel, your brother?" You see this in the scripture several times. The Lord will give us opportunity to confess. He will give us opportunity to repent. The Lord will give us opportunity to come clean on things, right? Well, look what happens in verse 9. "And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Man, you can just hear the snarkiness dripping off of that thing. Again, it's sort of amazing because of the dialogue that's occurring here. This isn't just apparently an impression that Cain is having upon his heart, as we would say, or just a thought that was fleeting through his mind. This is conversational. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he, Cain, said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Now, again, God knew exactly what he had done. He wants it to draw it into Cain's awareness. What have you done? And then he states a thing that you see here, a principle you see here, something that I would tell you to pay attention to throughout the balance of Scripture. The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. The ground had received the blood of Cain. I mean, of Abel. So it shows you that this wasn't just something where he hit him over the head with a rock and that's just a contusion. He died from there. Apparently, there was blood that was involved in this. Now, he may be speaking metaphorically right here, but more than likely, it's actual, very physical. "And the Lord heard the cry of the blood." That's interesting. Why is that? Because you see in Scripture later on that the blood holds life. Life is in the blood. So God continues, Genesis 4, verse 11. "Now, you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Now, remember what happened with Adam and Eve. They were sent out of the garden, and they had to then work the ground for sustenance to come forth. Now it's going to be even worse for Cain. It says, you are cursed from the ground. Okay, the ground will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. He says, when you try to cultivate it, it's not going to yield the strength. You're going to get a few things here and there, but it's not going to be the strength of the ground. Also, that vagrant and wanderer is really interesting. The idea being, you're going to have to wander about to find sustenance, okay, to be able to live. Now, verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. What was he basing that upon? Do you see any repentance on his part? Do you see anything happening? No, it's all about me, all about me. My punishment is too great to bear. Verse 14, behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So it's all about me. Couple of interesting things right here. You have driven me this day from the face of the ground. It wasn't God that drove him from the face of the ground. It was his action that did, okay? And from your face, I will be hidden. I don't see God saying that anywhere. I don't see anywhere where he says, I want to hide my face from you. See, man does that. We saw it with Eve. We see it here with Cain. We take the word of the Lord and we add to it. We add to it. I see it all the time. I hear people quoting Calvin to me that never quote the Bible to me. Constantly people saying, well, that's not Wesleyan, when they don't know what the Word of God says. But, boy, they'll sit there and declare it's not Wesleyan, or it's not Calvin, or it's not Baptist. You know, it's ridiculous, folks. We add to the Word of God, and then we worship, literally, what man has added to the Word of God. So he added a little bit. From your face I will be hidden. I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. God did say that. And whoever finds me will kill me. God didn't say that. He was walking in fear and assuming that that was going to happen because people would be mad. Verse 15, you still see the mercy of the Lord here, folks. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. He put a mark on Cain of some form or fashion. The Lord told Cain, said, don't worry, nobody's going to kill you like this. Vengeance will be taken upon him sevenfold. That actually comes back later in the Word of God. But he put some type of sign on him to where people would know. You can't imagine how this has been interpreted through the years. You can't imagine. One of the major ways that it was interpreted for the longest time, which is totally wrong and totally incorrect, is that God made Cain black. And so, therefore, anybody who's black and has a high level of melanin has a mark of Cain. Now, I could tell you how that was argued. I'm not even going to waste my time on it, okay? Because that's not what this was. We do not know what the sign was. We simply know that there was a sign appointed on there. Now watch this, last two verses. I'm running out of time. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now he went from the presence of the Lord where the Lord was sitting there talking with him. The Lord's having a chat with him. And he settled in the land of Nod. Nod means wandering. Remember how God told him that you'd be a vagrant, you'd be a wanderer? So what does Cain do? Watch the next verse. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. God said, you're going to be a vagrant. You're going to be a wanderer. What does Cain do? Try to settle. Try to put down roots. Try to build a city. Of course, the question is always asked. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived. Well, who is his wife? You know, who is his wife? Well, where do they get their wives, you know? And there's all sorts of conjecture. The answer is real simple, though we don't like it, okay? His wife would have been a relative, would have been a sister, would have been a cousin maybe even by this time, okay? We don't have them named at the time and all this kind of stuff, but it would have been somebody within his family, and there was nothing wrong with that at that time. Perhaps I'll pick that up more later because we still got to talk a little bit about Cain, and my time has run out. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you later.